This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Okay, so if you're sitting listening and you're looking over maybe down by your feet and you've got your fur babies close by, or you're looking out a window and you see a bird in a tree, they're all going to want to listen in on this interview because we're going to be talking to Sarah Bamford Seidelman, and she is the author of The Book of Beasties, Your A to Z Guide to the Illuminating Wisdom of Spirit Animals. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me on, Lisa.
Sure. So what little fur babies do you have around you right now?
Well, I have zero because I'm at my office, but at home I have a pug, Oliver James, and Spirit Francis, my other dog, who's
well,
more
of
a crazy mix.
And the reason that animals are so appealing to people, what do you think that is?
You know, I think whether they're, you know, our pets at home or if they're in the wild, to me, Lisa, the main thing is that they're present. You know, they're not somewhere like sweating, you know, my God, I had that extra glass of Cabernet Sauvignon and said something I shouldn't have last night. Or they're not, you know, worried about how they're going to pay for college in the future. They're right here, right now, you know, completely in the moment. And I think that's what makes them so riveting for us to watch, you know, mm-hmm. if we can detach ourselves long enough from the drama that's going on around us to pay attention to them.
And they are so truthful. You know what I mean? They don't lie to you, except when they maybe have ripped something up and you're going, did you do this? And then maybe you might get a little bit of lying. But, you know, my sister has a horse, and the one thing she says is she can have the worst day in the world, and she goes there and all her horse cares about is, oh, mama's here, or hey, I want to eat, or hey, I want to play, or hey, you know, she says there's no lying.
Yeah, there's no manipulation
yes.
or trying to make somebody happy or trying to get them to do what you want them to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about little Sarah. When was the first indication that you had that animals were going to be something important in your life?
Yeah, I was obsessed with, Marlon Perkins? I'm going to say the name wrong. You know, it was like Mutual of Omaha. You know, like that was my favorite show in the world. And we weren't allowed to have any pets because my mom was allergic to fur. And so it was like, I mean, I would just beg my parents for animals constantly. And the biggest thrill of my life was the day somebody gave me a hermit crab as a gift. And I mean, a hermit crab does not maybe sound like the most, you know, cuddly beastie, but I was so excited because it meant something that was going to be under my care. So I think, yeah, as a little kid, I was really obsessed with animals and afraid of them too. You know, I mean, I wasn't necessarily, I was intimidated by dogs and cats, well, not cats as much, but dogs. I was definitely drawn to them then, although didn't have a lot of direct contact with them. And I would say the same about nature. Spent a lot of time as a kid down by the stream, just alone, hanging out, enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. And when you decided, okay, I'm going to, because you guys have got to get, this book is like, I call it one of a coffee table book too, because it's one of those things that if you set this out, someone cannot help but look through this. That it calls to you because I had it sitting out in my home and a friend of mine came over and she goes, oh, that was really weird because I just saw a blah, blah, blah. It was a butterfly. So this butterfly just came and landed and she picked up the book and she flipped through to butterfly and she started reading. So, listeners, you have to understand this is like almost like an encyclopedia of all of these different animals. And you have sort of really nicely broken it down into different things like chakra and aligning affirmations and love and wellness as to what these particular beasties may mean in your life. So my question to you is, how did the beasties tell you that this is what this means?
Yeah. So, I always encourage people, whatever message you're getting from your beastie that you're encountering right here, right now, that is perfect. You know, you are the guru of your own life and that, you know, we can each get messages. But the book came, so how the book came is that for years, I'd been working with people, teaching them how to connect to these messages, teaching them how to connect with actual their spirit animals and receive messages, and doing that myself, and wanted to share this in a bigger way with people. So I opened up a ceremony as I began writing the book and invited all the beasties who wanted to be a part of this book to come forward and to share their medicine. You know, I use that word. I used to practice medicine and no longer do, but I feel like medicine is really what they offer, mm-hmm. is like these healing and kind of guiding us to take a path that feels good to us, that connects with our, you know, the greater purpose of our life. So as I began to write the book, it was like, you know, it was an alphabetical journey. So, you know, it began with alligator, and, you know, we went on and on into butterfly. And every day I'd wake up and I'd think, oh my gosh, what if these messages stop coming? What are we going to do? But they didn't. Thank goodness. You know, they just,
poor zebra. You would have never gotten to zebra.
I know, right? Oh my goodness. I was just reading zebra the other day, 'cause I was like, gee, you were the last one that we wrote, you know, was that okay? And yes, she's all good. But what I find is, you know, I used to be this super intellectual person and going to medical school and, you know, working my whole life to do things logically. And at some point I realized that certain things in life just cannot be navigated that way successfully. And we need to tap into something much greater than ourselves, something much bigger. And I find that the beasties are a wonderful portal to that kind of wisdom and those kinds of insights. So often, you know, we get so confused or really stuck or overwhelmed. And if we just stop and notice, like, okay, what is there a beastie, you know, that's either come to me in the last few days or is coming to me right now? And if it is, you know, if this is a kind universe, what might it be trying to say to me? You know, it can be just that simple, so simple. And like a butterfly, gosh, I remember one time, you know, the message was just like that there's beauty everywhere, because, you know, when we see a butterfly, we're reminded of like the astounding, astonishing beauty. I mean, if you haven't slowed down to stare at a butterfly lately, I mean, give mm-hmm. it a try. It's pretty incredible.
And the willpower of transformation. I mean, that whole, you know, like you start out looking like that and bam, look at you now.
Yeah, totally. And when I, you know, about 8-9 years ago, when I was in my medical practice and feeling terribly stuck and confused, because I did not like my job anymore. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? This is a nightmare, because I need to keep working to pay my mortgage. And what are we going to do? And at the time, I remember looking around my house and I had on my wall these 10 framed sets of butterflies. So all together, there must have been there were like 120, because there were like 10 butterflies on each frame image. I was like, wow, okay, I've got 125 butterflies, you know, in my living room. That must mean something. And then, you know, looking back, I laugh, because it's like, yeah, I was on the brink of a huge transformative process.
Oh, I love that. And, yeah. You know, how does this relate to animal totems?
Well, I think it's just sort of an interchangeable term. So totem, you know, kind of means something that's very powerful and very significant and very meaningful to you. So, you know, and so sometimes just, and it's a great segue into figuring out like who might be your lifetime beastie, or what I call a core beastie, or some people call it a power animal, because of the power that it can sort of share with you, the love and compassion that it can share with you of the universe, the power of the universe. I mean, which may sound kind of trite, but I've discovered that it's true. Mm-hmm. But don't take my word for it, you know, explore this on your own. But so you can ask yourself, you know, what might be my totem? Who might be? What wild animals have been significant for me? And it could be like, as a kid, maybe you had a stuffed white tiger that was like, you know, they had to like pry it out of your hands in seventh grade, you know, or maybe you, when you went to the zoo with your grandmother, you know, you always ran to the dolphin exhibit, or, you know, maybe you've had animals that have come to your dreams again and again. And even if they're scary dreams, even frightening dreams where beasties keep appearing to you can be powerful, symbols, or it can be powerful messages that are calling, you know, that they're trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
And if you're Yeah, I was just going to say too, if you're curious about who yours is and you're wondering how to discover it, one of the, you know, profound, simple ways, it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for many, many people, is to do a guided shamanic meditation. And there's one at my website that you can download, you can get access to for free if you go there and sign up for the newsletter.
And share your website with us.
Yep, it's followyourfeelgood.com. So
followyourfeelgood.com, and we will have a link to that website up on our website as well. Because I know a lot of times too, some people are really great at just sitting quietly and letting stuff come to them. Other people really need that guided sort of assistance to get where they need to be. So I'm really glad to hear that you have that available. And can our core beasties change?
Well, I always say that it's good to start with one and kind of build a strong relationship. They're kind of, I like to think of them like friendships. So, you know, to go from, you know, to have one friendship can be pretty manageable, to have, you know, 10 important friendships can be, you know, something really a big job, right? <Yeah. laughs> Because we need to do care and feeding of each one of those friendships, you know, and it's the same thing with spirit animals, that they require us to pay attention to them, to listen, to spend time, to find ways to honor them. And I talk about all this in the book, in the first sort of chunk of the book. The back, as you say, is a big encyclopedia of what the beastie that's showing up for you might be wanting to say to you. But in the beginning, we talk about kind of the difference between a guest beastie, which is maybe a beastie that comes for a little while to show you something important about your life. And thank goodness you don't have to like change the sheets. I'm having company this weekend. And boy, it's been a while since I've had to like change as many sheets as I'm changing right now. So yes, with the guest beastie, they are, you know, you don't have to get up early and make them coffee, but they'll just come and show up to point something out to you or remind you of something important, or maybe show you a way to be with a current, you know, challenge in your life. And sometimes it's just simply them. They may just show you just to be. Sometimes they're there to say like, no action is necessary. Like we think, oh my God, I've got to do something about this. No. And sometimes the beasties are there to say, or not. Maybe you could just kind of wait and see what more unfolds, you know?
I love that. I have to share with you a beastie story because I know you'll understand. So a long time ago, I always knew a deer or a buck was very important to me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just always had that. And I always felt a sense of protection about it. And I would always, you know, see the symbol on the back of trucks or cars, you know, the little picture of the deer or whatever, or I would see it. And there was a time when I was in the hospital and I was not doing very well. Now you have to understand that I live in a suburban neighborhood. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not out in the wilderness. It's very suburban. And when I got back out of the hospital at home, my neighbor said to me, Lisa, you're never going to believe what happened. And I said, what? And he told me the particular day. And he said, on this day, a buck jumped the fence into your backyard. I live near two expressways. There is no trees. And I said to him, I go, are you sure you weren't just seeing something? Because that was the exact day that my very high fever broke before I would have had to go back into surgery. And he said, yeah, he jumped your fence. He stood in your backyard, ate a little bit, and then jumped away. And I said, are you absolutely sure that it was a deer, that it was a buck? He goes, Lisa, I'm a hunter. I know what a buck looks like. And I went, oh my God. And So it was just affirmation or a reconnection to the buck, to the deer that said, you're going to be okay.
Beautiful.
And so that's why I want everybody to think back to times, like you said, when animals just sort of showed up, or maybe you were annoyed by, darn, those pesky raccoons got into it again. Look up raccoon, look up possum, and try and see what those things mean. And not everything written may mean something to you, but just that one little sentence or a portion about, you know, relating or creativity or vocation is going to click in that moment and go, oh my gosh, that's what it's been trying to tell me. Because I do believe they're messengers. You know this, you've said this. They bring us information if we will just open up our hearts and our minds to say, I'm not going to force whatever this answer is. I'm just going to allow it.
Yeah. And your story is so beautiful. It reminds me of another great story that I heard in our local hospice house. There was a man who was dying and he'd had many strokes. And so he was unable, he had expressive aphasia, meaning he couldn't communicate. It couldn't express his desires or needs or wants, mm-hmm. but he was a woodcarver and his kids decided they were going to bring him some wood and some of his tools, you know? So as he was there, he began to carve one night and for days, everybody was kind of wondering. He wasn't working at it very much, but over time, one night, somebody said, oh, I finally know what Dad's carving. It's an owl. And everybody was like, oh, that's really neat. And then that night, he died. And mm-hmm. that same night, in the middle of the night, a great horned owl flew into a pine tree and sat outside his, you know, these sliding glass doors that entered into his room and stayed there for a whole day. And the whole family just had this immense, you know, feeling of peace and of connection and of protection that, you know, he was being guided or that he was okay, you know, because I think sometimes in these moments as humans, we wonder, you know, where is Dad gone or is everything, what's happening? And this just one of these experiences beyond words that people just get this feeling of knowing and trusting that things are okay.
Yeah. And you know, they can tell us different types of messages. There yes. was a time where I kept having a dream about a raccoon and he would put his little paw up to his, you know, little mask and he would pull the mask off. Mm. And so his black around his eyes would come off. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, what is it? And then it was about take the mask off. Stop trying to be something that you're not. Be who you really are. Don't hide. And as soon as I got that message, I stopped, you know, dreaming about the raccoon who was taking his little burglar mask off. And so if we just sort of allow the information and the answers to come to us, nature, the universe, and these animals are trying to help us every single day. And that's what I look at when I look at your book and I hold your book and I thumb through it. That's why I think it's a great, you know, coffee table book, because everybody it's a little bit like an oracle book. It kind of mm-hmm. is, you know, where if you're going through something, because you can also use it as that, you're going through something in your life, you're not really sure, you can actually just flip through it, open up to a page, get out.
Let's do it now.
We're going to do it now. I'm going to let Remy do it. Remy, in honor of, you can have the book. Here's my producer. All right. So just take the book.
And whoever's listening, this beastie, just set your intention set that your the beastie intention. That shows up is for you as well as all of us.
Yep. Okay, Remy, hit it.
It opened right up to dolphin.
Ooh. And what are some key points about dolphin at the top?
Altruism, communication, pleasure, and social network.
A little bit of communication and talking. And what are some of the other buzzwords?
Stir it up, spin up the mud, let the heavy stuff sink, discover clarity.
Oh, I love that.
And swim with the sharks, navigate with joy and change the, and charge the heart. I like that.
All right, here. Give my book
Very
back.
Cool.
Look at it. Yeah, I already had somebody look at this that was, you know, eyeing it and said, oh, can I take this home? And I was like, well, you can buy your own. No, I'm just kidding. Like, you know, that's how we do that. In case you do want a copy of Sarah's book, you can find it followyourfeelgood.com. Followyourfeelgood.com. Are you also on Amazon at all?
Yes, and you can get it wherever books are sold. You should be able to request it and order it. Yes, and online at Barnes & Noble and other places as well as Amazon.
Yeah, because before I handed it to you, Remy, and I flipped it open, it actually went to rat. And see, I even say it like it's a bad thing, and it's not. See, did you see the way I said that? Rat.
Yeah, let's talk about like the beasties that either scare us or kind of disgust us.
Please
or,
do.
So those are really, when you're ready, and there's no pressure, but when you feel ready to look at some of those things, it can be really powerful, because often the thing that kind of gives us an ick or we're really terrified of, like one of my kids is terrified of spider eyes, and he's not ready to look at it, but some day when he is, you know, it'll be really interesting. But often that's kind of like looking at our own shadow, mm-hmm. you know, and often those beasties have some sort of something that they're doing, which is something that if we can own that power ourselves and express it, then we too can thrive and do well. I'll just give an example from my own life. So I had just sort of taken a break from medicine, my practice at work, and my medical practice, and I was going to launch my first retreat. And so we went to Hawaii to launch this retreat, and we were there the day before waiting for our people to come. And I was going to paddle out with a friend to try surfing in this bay. And suddenly, as we're about, 12 blocks into the ocean, I'm like, oh no, like this is the same place that Bethany Hamilton had her arm lopped off. And I suddenly remembered that there were sharks in the water, And it really like paralyzed me for a moment. But then I was like, okay, Sarah, just relax, just trust, go. And we had a marvelous day. But later I looked at it, like, why is the shark showing up for me? And then really what I really observed about sharks is sharks are not like limp dish rags about anything. When they go after something, it is like rocket. Like they are so confident, There is no question what they're doing. And I realized that I needed to tap into that confidence. I couldn't lead this retreat, even though I was feeling scared. I couldn't lead it, with kind of wimpy energy. I needed to be kind of like a tiger shark and just be like, hello, I'm here to do this.
Command respect. Yes, yeah. They command respect because of their presence.
That to these people who had paid money to be there. Yeah. So that's one example, and there's so many more. But when you're ready, look up one of the beasties that really freaks you out. Roach, spider, rat. Yeah. Yeah, so talk about rat. Like, what did you learn anything as you checked the book out?
Actually, I learned that rat was like really good. And it talked about being really resourceful and, thrive anywhere, anytime, in any condition. And it's really funny because it reminds me of like a cockroach. Like my brother-in-law one time said, Lisa, nothing can kill you. You're like a cockroach. And it's true because I've been through a lot of medical issues. So the rat is kind of along that same line. And so now I'm just embracing that. I love that.
Beautiful. Yeah, that tenacity that we need to tap into.
Absolutely. Well, we have come to the part of our show that we call the RL3, which is three simple, goofy little questions that you have agreed to go ahead and answer for us. Remember, you agreed to this. They're not bad. They're kind of fun. All right. But this is just something to get a little bit into your psyche here. So sure. When is the last time you felt insecure?
Oh, my God. Yesterday. Today. I mean, every day. I mean, I think that's because right now I'm like pushing myself to do a lot of things that feel uncomfortable. So I always see it as a good sign, although it can be unpleasant.
Okay. So she's owning up to it, everybody. It happens. Oh, see, yeah, baby. Happens to the best of us. All right. Uh-huh. Here's a question you can think on a little bit is, what movie, either current or past, did you have a big reaction to? And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Just you had a big reaction to it.
I would say American Beauty.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. I think those characters were so authentic. And I think it just called into question. I think when that movie came out too, I was in this big period of upheaval. And I think it really touched into my God, like, am I living authentically? Because really that's what each character was facing, right? Like one, they were all living lies in some way.
I can't look at a blowing plastic bag the same way ever since that movie.
Yeah.
Like, kudos to the director and to the cinematographer and even the editors who that simple picture of watching that plastic bag fly through the air. I now look at that and almost like sort of fly with it. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, people, then I guess you're going to have to go watch American Beauty.
Very good.
All right. So our third question, we're going to find out two little names by you. The first name we're going to find out is your fantasy name. So I need the name of your first pet and the street you grew up on.
Buttercup and Fifth Street.
Buttercup Fifth Street. Okay, that's good. I'm trying to think what Buttercup Fifth Street would be doing right about now. I'm not sure.
She's living large. I think she's having a good time.
She's having a good time. So now, just in honor of the Book of Beasties, I need to also find out your unicorn name. So the first letter, I'm looking it up for you here because these are funny ones. Okay, so your first name is Moonbeam, and I need to know what month you were born in.
June.
okay. Sorry. You're Moonbeam Lemon Sherbert. That is your name. that is an awesome unicorn name, Moonbeam Lemon Sherbert.
I do enjoy my moonbeams.
If you are interested in finding out more about your, you know, your core animal, your beasties that are around you that have a presence, and maybe you want to find out about your kids, maybe it's your coworkers, who, you know, what kind of animals do you think they are? You can get the Book of Beasties. This is an A to Z guide to the illuminating wisdom of spirit animals. We've been speaking with Sarah Bamford Seidelman. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your energy. And I know this is going to be really successful because Lord knows that we are in love with all of our animals. So,
thank you so much, Lisa. It was a joy.